Welcome to Behind the SaaS. I'm your host, Aaron Howerton, and this week, building a partnership app in Salesforce. But first, I want to take a couple of seconds and say thanks to my friends over at Partner Hacker, who have given me the opportunity to put these posts up every week as a column on their site. So if you're looking at this on LinkedIn, great. If you're hearing about this through your podcast player, fantastic. If you've not heard about it, please look up Partner Hacker as a website. Great content, daily content, lots of articles, quick digestion, and hey, I'm over there. Secondly, I want to say thanks to my friends over at Partnership Leaders. If you're watching this, you're seeing me reference my write-up over here. They give me a space every week to come in and help out. If you're a member of Partnership Leaders, you can join me every Wednesday morning for a 30-minute office hour session to ask questions, get help, meet other partnership professionals, and learn about the challenges they have. If you're a partner ops person, you could join up and become part of our dedicated mastermind we're trying to build up. We're still looking for people just to create a safe space for ops people to go talk about ops challenges that maybe don't spill out into the larger org as we try to solve those complicated problems. This week is going to be, it's going to be about highlighting a bunch of Salesforce wins. Like, here's a bunch of things you can do in Salesforce. And then I started writing and I do what I do, which is these things become bigger and ideas keep coming and they explode. I don't know if that's a content thing, like if you write and this is just what happens, or if that's a component of my ADHD mind where I'm constantly getting fixated on certain things. But we've shifted. I'm going to not do the big quick win list of a lot of things, and we're going to turn those probably into individual articles where we can kind of go a little deeper on the value. You can read the article for that quick list, though. I did include it in the article. I'm going to save time here and not go through it. Sorry, but you know, that's how I drive you to the rest of my stuff, right? That's at least what I'm told. Building space for partnerships in Salesforce. Now, again, I think this stuff matters, and I think it applies to more than just Salesforce. I think you can take the general ideas that are driving the technical what we do and apply those to basically any CRM. And at the end of the day, you will constantly hear me talk about the lack of native functionality for partnerships in any CRM. None of them that I've ever seen will come out of the box with a partnership, data architectural model, partnership management included in the package. I don't know that that's going to change. If it does, if you do it, man, give me a call. Show me your product. I'll be happy to review it and talk about it on the podcast and do my stuff. So in that respect, if there's not a place for your partnerships team to work in the CRM that looks and feels dedicated to them, doing that when you land as the partner ops role is a great way to add quick value and demonstrate what you can do and start to let your team feel seen. And that's why this matters. It is not uncommon, which means it is common for partnership people to not get first call for budget and new tooling. There's a thread going on in Partnership Leaders. Literally just this morning, I was reading where you've got people solutioning on different platforms like Google Sheets and Notion, creating partner engagement opportunities through these different platforms. And as a startup or as a young early program without budget, where direct's getting all the money for tools, that's what you have to do, right? And congrats to those folks who are trying to make it work in these other platforms in a structured way. The challenge is still going to be that that's probably not the scalable option as you start to deal with partners in multiple regions or multiple different models. So there's a need still to think about your core systems, and CRM is always going to be there. So that's why this matters. It's a way for you to give them some space. It's a way for you to create visibility for the rest of the org to let them know they're here. So I want to start with first principles. Okay, a new friend of mine, James, recently talked about this, asked me this question, like, what are your first principles around partner operations? I love the question, right? It's that core framework. What do you think about first? What's the foundation? So I'm going to start there. The foundation for me around designing a partnership app in Salesforce, getting real specific here, is that I want to design the systems as though they are a single platform experience. And that's true of anything, right? Software is software. It's just helping data. If you work in ops, you're managing multiple software platforms, and you're kind of working as a product owner, and your stakeholders and your users are the partnership team, the direct team, the customer service team, the legal team, right? You need to satisfy multiple stakeholders through a collection of software. I view it as a single platform experience that helps me create a unified model. Remember that stakeholders want less clicks to the goal. Let's save them time as they do their work. You also want to drive stakeholders toward action. It is a very common problem for people to turn on tools and turn on systems and say, great, you've got Salesforce, go crazy. Nobody still knows what to do with Salesforce. They want to go in, salespeople in particular, partnerships or otherwise, they need to know what the next thing they're going to do is. So if you just give somebody a report and expect them to extrapolate all the valuable information and go take action, good luck. Junior people especially don't get this. The best salespeople will do this intuitively, but good ops people will help most of us who are in the middle, like me most of the time, I think, maybe, I don't know, go find the thing to do, right? Here's the next thing to do with this. And the other one is strive toward what I call a user-proof experience. Now, I know it's not possible. My developers, when I did product ownership, used to tell me it's not possible. And I said, guys, it's not possible. Things will break, 80%, 90% delivery, whatever. But user-proof as an ideal, as the goal, that's the point. That way we're designing with the idea that we want users to be guided through process, guided through work, not have to reference SOP, not be hit with blockers and validations. We want it to be user-proof as much as we can. So the first thing you want to do is start with discovery. I mean, this is any new job. You start with discovery, start learning, meet with your team one-on-one and ask them, hey, what sucks a lot about the current CRM? What do you not like about our tools? You're going to get a lot of great ideas out of this for your roadmap, and you're going to start to build a relationship that says, I'm here, I'm willing to listen, I'm not just going to come in with my ideas about what I think is great, I want to know what your problems are. You want to make sure you get a few things out, though. What do they work with the most? What data is important in the CRM? What reports, if any, are driving action in the CRM? What's key data in terms of what reporting and metrics they're after? What activities or workflows are in for them in the CRM? That way you can surface those through the app as well. And then what would they like to be able to do? And encourage them to think about their ideal. If they start talking about limitations and blah, blah, don't let them do that. Their ideas, their goal, their job is to tell you what their ideal state would be. Your job is to build the solution or to work with other teams to build the solutions. And maybe you're focusing more as an owner, like a product owner analyst role. It's where I like to sit. And you're helping people really figure out what they want. Building a partnership app in Salesforce is really straightforward. I'm not going to break that down in this podcast, but you can go to my article, you can find it there, and you can go online and search for how to build a Salesforce partnership app, and you'll probably find great Google videos. At the end of the day, I want to highlight a few things. As you go through the process, so there's one piece in particular where you're going to get to choose app options. There's navigation style, standard versus console. That's an important choice because it creates a really different user experience when you go console, probably not something your org is used to or not something a lot of people have seen. It adds good value. I like it, but you need to read up on the differences because once you make that pick, you can't change it. Now, you can create two different apps that are basically identical, one console and one standard, if you want. So you can copy the app and change the setting down the road if you decide not to do that, but you can't change the style on the same app. That's locked in. There's also these great utility items, which are going to require that you have some list views or reports or things you want to put into there early in advance. I really like this idea. Then there's the other stuff of choosing profiles and publication. Let's get on real quick with the last couple minutes here. You've built the app. You've gone through the steps. Great. Partnerships is an app in Salesforce. They can click on the icon on the far left, little 9-dot window there. That's the navigation pane. They click on that. They go to partnerships. They see all the objects that matter to them, but the homepage is not for them. You got to get the homepage set up. Now, this is something you build within the app experience. You go to the Lightning app, you edit it after you create it, and you can build the new homepage. What I'm talking about here, again, go to the article and look for examples, but I like to add rich text fields. It's one of the few places in Salesforce you can use rich text to add context, to format your information. I like to put in links here, like put in links to drive people toward what matters. Examples that I have are, here's my daily Salesforce checklist. Number one, link to a report or a view to clear new leads assigned to partners or clear new leads that have been submitted by partners or update opportunities that haven't been touched in 30 days or reassign leads that haven't been accepted by partners. This is a great spot to do call to action. So every day when I log in, I hit the homepage, boom, boom, boom. I know what to do. Click, click, click. Here's things I can do. Once again, driving toward action. Include dashboard. You might have to build a new one for partnerships or reporting or links to today's events or today's tasks. You can put any element you want. It's just like adding a lightning page. So that's not, you know, if you've worked in Salesforce, that's not unusual. The other thing I want to do is consider adding a custom page. You can add a custom page through the Lightning app editor as well. I have an example on the article this week where I'm basically creating three buckets in a single page for referral partners, agency partners, and technology partners. And then I could drop key reports in there. I'm calling the page Partner Analytics. So instead of using a dashboard, just drop high-level review pieces for all partnership team members to be aware of, right? Links to tasks, whatever needs to be in this page. I think a partner analytics page is great because you can drill down these high-level reports that everyone might want to see so everyone can track performance. You could do all sorts of stuff. Again, it's a custom page. Go nuts. This is just one example of where you can start to add value. So at the end of the day, what I really want to stress here is that design experience matters. You can go put this together and cram a bunch of stuff in there, but if you're not driving users toward action, if you're not making their day easier, if you're not helping them get to what matters, there's literally no point in doing this because you're just going to frustrate your users. Also, don't forget enablement. Don't forget that you have to train. Ops tends to get stuck in a bucket where we just have to do the daily work. But if we're trying to add strategic value and we're a small company, we have to pick up the pieces of project scoping, writing out requirements, building things hands-on, running the enablement, making sure people know what they're doing. Another thing to keep make sure you train them on is teach them how to use favorites in Salesforce. That can really change how people use Salesforce. It gets a bad rap, but it's like any other system with a lot of customization. It's all about what you put into it. If you have questions on this, I've got a new email, Aaron@PartnerOpsPartner. Let me know how you feel about that. Aaron@PartnerOpsPartner.com. You will not find a website yet because that is how this is rolling for me. But I promise the email works. I will respond and I would love to hear from you. So what are you waiting on? It's time to go build something.